Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Well, it's a Monday. No, it's a Tuesday. Yesterday was Monday. We made it through Monday. It is a Tuesday. It is the fifth day of March 2024. I'm Andy Griffin. Welcome to the program. Marianne Hamilton is here as well as in what her doctor called her, scrawny white woman. She's Italian, though, so I don't know if they, I mean, your skin is olive-ish.
Yeah, I'm half Italian.
My wife is also half Italian, and she has a little bit of olive skin, too.
I am half Italian, one quarter Portuguese, and one quarter British.
Really?
So it's an odd
Portuguese.
Mix. Yeah.
Mm. But and how much Portuguese do you know, the language?
Absolutely zip.
None.
Absolutely none.
Okay.
Yes.
That's okay.
I know that if you speak Spanish, there's a lot more stuff going, you know, in the pronunciation.
Yeah, I have a friend who speaks. He's from Brazil, so mm-hmm. he speaks Portuguese. That's mm-hmm. his native language. He was called as a missionary to serve in the United States and learn English. Well, his president, when he was in Utah, said, "Oh, you're from South America. We'll have you go into the Spanish-speaking area."
No.
Well, he spoke Portuguese and somewhat English. He didn't speak any Spanish.
It's very
so
different.
He had to learn on-the-fly Spanish.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then he married a girl from Italy.
Well, that's just enough to really mess
well, no,
up.
He married. Yeah. She's from Mexico, but she went to Italy on a mission and learned Italian.
Okay.
And so in their house, they actually speak English, Italian, Portuguese, and Spanish. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're all based on the Romance languages, but mm-hmm. you can get really, really screwed up trying to speak anything.
Yeah, we barely make it through English.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, here, most of us in Utah, but we're getting there. And Marianne Hamilton, former Miss Senior Universe and a fitness guru, and Marianne's out there doing aerobics and teaching us how to be healthier.
Well, trying to help inspire, perhaps.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
We appreciate
that's
that.
That's my goal in life.
You know, in studies over and over again, have talked about how, you know, even if you can just do a little, mm-hmm. whether it's go for a walk, whether it's, I remember meeting with a guy when my mom was having her struggles breathing, and
yeah.
he said, you know, if you could just make a goal to walk to the mailbox,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe you do that for a week or two, and then the next time you say, you know, I think I'll go all the way around the block and
right.
not just to the mailbox. And just little stuff can make such a huge difference.
It builds up so rapidly. It's really... it's kind of remarkable once you establish that base level of fitness mm-hmm. and all the research suggests that we just need 150 minutes a week and that's, you know, a half hour 5 days a week. So it's pretty manageable and it doesn't have to be going out and doing a triathlon or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always wondered about this, you know, that number 150 a week,
mm-hmm.
I go and play pickleball for 120 minutes.
In one night, right.
In one night. And I do that two or three times a week. So mm-hmm. I'm like, no, does this count as just the 30? Or I don't know, because I do a lot and I kind of overdo it because the rest of the day after I played pickleball, I'm pretty much shot.
Sedentary, yeah.
Yeah.
Shot, yeah.
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 But, I, you know, doing, find the thing that makes you happy. You and I have talked about this on the show.
Yeah.
That's the real key. If you're miserable, whatever exercise you choose, and you're miserable doing it.
Your friend who's a runner who hates it, you know,
yeah.
why would you subject yourself to that?
Eventually, yeah. you're probably not going to do it yeah. anymore if you yeah. don't like it.
But if you love dancing or you love yoga or mm-hmm. you love walking or you love even walking in the pool, you'll do that on a consistent basis. And that's the whole base. That's the whole goal, is to do something consistently.
My father-in-law, for many years, he and his wife would go out, you know, dancing every Thursday night. That was
awesome.
That was ballroom slash, what's it, swing dancing night.
Yeah.
And that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Square dancing. They would do square dancing, too.
Oh, that's
but every
yeah.
Thursday they were out there dancing. And
that's great exercise.
Yeah, helped extend their lives, make them healthier.
It's also, in addition to the physical benefits, it's really good as far as staving off dementia, because
particularly
with something
yeah.
like the socialization and with square dancing, you have, you know, steps you have to sort of keep in mind. And
that's true.
Not bash into people when you're do-si-doing, right?
Don't step on her toes.
Don't step on her toes.
Stuff
yeah.
like that. And I can't imagine. Marianne is about one-fourth of my weight, and I can't imagine stepping on her toes, how bad that might hurt her. So that's why we don't dance together, Marianne, apparently.
It's just always remarkable just standing next to you, Andy. See, you really are a tall guy. You're
yes.
what,
6'5"?
6'5",
yeah.
Wow.
My son is an inch taller than me. He's 6'6".
And so. That was the height of my first husband.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Big tall guy.
Big tall guy, yeah.
Nice. I was going to ask you, I don't know how much you want to share, but you did have a visit with the doctor this week.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, I don't know how much you want to share, but do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure, sure. I think last month when I was on, I let you know I was having a DEXA scan, and I did actually find out what the DEXA is an acronym for.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited because
yes,
we didn't know.
We didn't know, and Dr. Blodgett will probably correct my pronunciation tomorrow whenever he's on next, but it stands for, dual X-ray absorption. Absorptometry, perhaps?
Wow.
Dual X-ray absorptometry scan, okay?
Okay.
And it basically measures your bone density, and it's primarily done on your hips and your spine. And I have this every 2 years because of my breast cancer adventure 4 years ago, and because I've been on what they call aromatase inhibitors, which are actually estrogen blockers, ever since. So it's been almost 4 years of that. And those tend to do wreak havoc with your bones, unfortunately. Mm.
So side effect, basically.
Yeah.
And they kind of knew something was maybe coming because of it.
Right, right. And between that and, as you said, the technical medical terminology of me being a scrawny white woman, right? That combination was not good. And unfortunately, people who are small-framed and typically white women and Asian women have the most propensity for developing osteoporosis, which okay. is now what has happened to me.
Mm.
Yeah, so that was kind of a disheartening thing to discover. When my oncologist gave me the news last week, she was practically in tears. We've become really good friends over the last 4 years. And she said, I know I did this to you. I'm so sorry, you know, between the medications I gave you and the fact that you're small. But she said, you know, there are things we can do to sort of combat that. Now, I'm not really going to ever regain that all that bone that I've lost.
Mass, yeah.
Yeah, but they can prevent more loss, and your bones actually are, you think that they're sort of a static thing, that you have just a bone's a hard thing, but it's always constantly regenerating or remodeling, as they say in the medical field. And so there are medications which I'm now on that will help you get stronger and prevent the brittleness that is really, really dangerous. People like me who even though mine's in pretty early stages, as osteoporosis develops, if you fall, somebody who has just a normal fall could be dangerous for them. You can break a hip, you can break your femur, your bones just become really, really susceptible to serious damage. And then from there, you know, all kinds of things can happen that are pretty dangerous.
Does it mess with your mind knowing that fact? Are you're more cognizant of, I had a trauma nurse on here a few weeks ago talking about how she called them GLFs, ground level falls,
right.
Are actually the number one reason people go to the emergency room. And that's got to be, I guess, something in your mind you got to be cognizant about.
I have to say that the day after I found this news, I was given this news and I was out on the trail, I was thinking, maybe I should go a little slower and really be aware of what my feet are doing, what my toes are doing. And it didn't make sort of a difference. My biggest concern is, you know, can I continue teaching fitness classes because I'm bouncing around on the concrete deck at, you know, the aquatic center.
Yeah.
And that's really something I'm not supposed to be doing is causing that kind of, you know, pounding type thing.
What if we got you a rubber mat? Would that help?
They actually got me a rubber mat a few months ago. And it's funny, I've had sort of some chronic discomfort in my left hip, but it's the right hip that has the bone loss, which is kind of weird.
Hmm.
Anyway, I will see what's going on with that and talk to my doctors and talk to the people at Shack and see what I can keep doing. I would, you know, just be devastated if I couldn't continue with that.
Yeah, it's, you know, medicine, drugs are an interesting thing. I have a couple I have to take for my health.
Sure.
And you read them and you read the side effects. You're like, this could happen or this there's a chance of this. And you're like, well, that's never going to happen. But the truth of the matter is you have to choose between the reason you have the drugs to fix whatever it is. In my case, one of them is for restless legs at night versus the side effects. And, you know, one of the side effects, unfortunately for me, in taking these drugs is I get really stiff muscles. If I sit for 5 minutes, everything kind of locks up. But I got to tell you, I would much rather have stiff muscles than not.
And sleep.
It was to the point I couldn't sleep anymore. My legs were so restless. I could not say it woke me. You know, I'd fall asleep and it'd wake me up, fall asleep, wake me up. And so, you know, for me, it was like, okay, your choice is either you don't sleep or you do sleep and you have stiff muscles, which is worse. Well, definitely not sleeping
absolutely.
Was worse.
Absolutely.
And you were kind of faced with the same thing. You don't have cancer. That's awesome.
Exactly. I mean, I'm totally fine with that. I don't know if you saw, but I posted on Facebook when I opened up the medication.
Yes.
And
yes.
There was this insert.
Holy cow.
Oh, my gosh. So it's printed on this sort of almost like onion skin. And it's the insert with all the downsides and side effects and blah, 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 was about 4 feet long. I'm not exaggerating.
It's like almost, poster size, basically.
It was. And yeah. I posted. I said I didn't know whether to read it or wear the blanket. You know, it was just this massive thing. And it's, you know, a double-sided print, like 2-point font you can barely read.
Small, yeah.
And it's just tons and tons and tons of scary, scary information. But, okay, I don't have cancer, so that's good.
By the way, we are having some issues with our phone line today. If you want to respond and be part of the show, you're welcome to text me at 467-5842. That's 435-467-5842. Maybe you're having a similar experience where you're given a drug. There was a drug years ago I took for, I think it was for high cholesterol, and it did some things to my body that it wasn't worth the trip. I would rather have the high cholesterol and risk of heart disease than what it was doing to me on an everyday basis. Now, fortunately, I went off the drug and I was able to lower my cholesterol other ways, but, you know, maybe someone out there is having a similar experience where you give a drug and you read the thing and you're like, okay, is it worth taking this knowing that this may or probably will happen.
Yeah. I mean, I have a close friend who was given the same drug that I'm on after her breast cancer, and it gave her brain fog and all kinds of scary stuff and depression.
It wasn't worth it.
It wasn't worth it. She said, I'm not going to do this. And I, you know, so they put her on something else. I think then at some point she said, I'm done. I'm not taking anything. Mm. And, you know, I respect that opinion and that decision. For me, it wasn't exactly the right way to go.
Yeah, no, understandable. Do you remember, I think it's probably been 2 decades, the food industry came out with a substance called Olestra.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a kind of an oil, but it was a low-fat oil, and they tried marketing some potato chips and things that
were
fried in Olestra.
Yeah.
And the upside was they were low-fat. They were actually lower calorie, lower fat, and it seemed like, for a moment anyway, this was the answer to America's addiction to chips and, and Cheetos and fries and things like that.
But
and then studies started coming out, and I hate to be a little crass here, but the words, a two-word phrase came out, anal leakage.
Yes.
And America decided,
yeah, no.
I'd rather have fatty chips or fatty fries or whatever than have to worry about
that.
AL, I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
And that was the same kind of thing. And it wasn't drugs, but it was the same kind of thing that you have to decide at a certain point. Is it worth the trade-off?
Right.
And for you, I'm glad you took the drugs that kept cancer away or helped to keep cancer away. I'm sad that, you know, osteoporosis has entered your life.
Oh, well, you know.
It could be worse.
I'm old, Andy. What can I say? Happens to the best of us.
Yeah,
so I'm doing as much as I can. It's funny because if you look at all of the you know, the risk factors, you know, I have a bunch of them, you know, my gender, my age, my family history, my mom had it as well, blah, blah, blah. And then all the things that you're supposed to be doing to prevent it. Okay, I'm doing all those things, but...
Hey, why don't you try a little bit of walking, Marianne? You don't walk, do you?
No.
Oh, wait, you
never
do.
Never occurred to me. So, you know, yeah, sedentary lifestyle, excessive, you know, tobacco use. I mean, all this stuff. I take calcium. I've taken calcium supplements every day for, you know, years and years. I mean, all those things. But it's just, I think, a combination of, you know, genetics and my frame and the drugs I was given. So, you know, I'll just do the best I can.
And we should never downplay the role of genetics, too, in all this. I look at, you know, a person with my particular body shape, if I was genetically predisposed to heart disease, I would probably be in real big trouble.
Yeah.
There's no heart disease in my family.
Oh,
I've been
really
blessed with that. And you know, the study after study has shown that if you have heart disease in your family and you have like the term a beer gut, that men are very likely to develop heart disease if it's in their family. I've been so lucky. I don't have it in my family. You know, I've last couple of scans I've had on my heart area, you know, the arteries are whatever the ones lead in. Anyway,
ventricles are
pretty clear.
Good.
Yeah, I'm happy about
that.
Glad
to hear it. It's my brother died of a heart attack when he was 49 after having lymphoma. My father died of a heart attack. My mother died of colon cancer. I mean, it's just sort of like I've already beaten the odds. My parents both passed away when they were 63, and I've outlived them 8 years already.
Wow.
So, yeah.
My dad's 88, by the way.
Yay. He's a swimmer.
Big fan of the show. He's a swimmer. Mm-hmm. His dad lived to be 94. And so he kind of has a goal. He's like, you know, I already outlived all my siblings, which is kind of sad. Some of them died young. But he said, my goal now, he says, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I don't buy green bananas, right? Because he might go before they're ripe. But he says, my goal kind of is to make, you know, try and live longer than my dad lived.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good goal.
That's, you know, my brothers and I who have remained have already surpassed that, so that's kind of good.
Yeah. Now, if my dad lives to 95, say, then my goal should be maybe to live longer than he lived, right?
Make it to 100, Andy.
Let's see. Yeah, that's a 42.
That's a lot of pickleball
games.
That would
be 2066, 67, something like that.
Okay.
2066, I'll be 100.
Doesn't that seem like, you know, something?
And you, young lady, will be a little, you'll be 114 or something like that. 112, whatever it is.
One of my idols, Iris Apfel, passed away last week. She was 102. She was quite the, you know, she was sort of a fashion icon, but she basically got to a certain point, and I think in her 80s or 90s, she had been an interior designer in New York, and she just kind of went, you know, I'm just going to dress however I want, and, you know, everybody else, I don't care. And she was fabulous. She was fabulous.
So first of all, a couple of things about living to old age. Edie Cicerelli in California just passed away, but she was the oldest living person in America. She made it to 116, which is pretty cool. Now the oldest living person in America is just about to turn 115, somewhere in Illinois or somewhere like that. The oldest person in the world is still alive and just had a birthday today, 117 years old. I forget her name, but she lives in Spain.
Wow.
And so her name is very Spanish, and I probably would say it wrong anyway, even if I said it. So my wife has been reading up on living long life. Mm-hmm. And there are pockets, I think she called them blue zones or something. Anyway, pockets around the world.
Blue zones, yeah.
Where people live to be really over 100 years old. And she said that somebody in this, the person that wrote this book, tried to collect data and figure out why they live to that age in those certain pockets and find the things that are in common. And it's funny because the main things, there were three main things they found in common. Number one was they lived with and around family their whole lives. The social aspect of it was very important.
Okay.
Number two, they ate a lot of seafood.
Yes.
I'm not a seafood fan, so I got an X mark on that one. I am living around family, but I'm not a seafood fan.
Okay.
And number three, this is a weird one, they ate usually a lot of beans, a lot of legumes.
Oh, it's really, really good for you. Beans are fantastic.
You would think, wait, beans? Really?
It's protein and fiber and all kinds
of
stuff.
So if you have, I don't know, salmon and beans, I guess you're going to live to...
Salmon bean burrito.
Yeah.
Great. Do you want to live that long, Andy?
No, I don't. Well, I don't know. I don't want... And my wife and I have talked about this. I don't want to live so long that it's not fun to be alive. Everything hurts and you're just in constant pain all the time. I don't want to be that person.
I've thought about this so often as I've gotten into my senior years. I mean, do I want to live so that my brain is fine, but my body is failing, or my brain is gone?
That's one of those what if kind of things.
You're
going
to live forever because you're really physically healthy.
Or either or. Would you rather have a strong body but not sound mind, or a strong mind but not sound body?
That's a really tough one.
Yeah.
I think I'd want the mind, but it would be so endlessly frustrating if your body didn't cooperate. You know?
Yeah.
And also, I would never, ever, ever want to be a burden on anybody.
Yeah, I agree.
And have them have to take care of me.
I agree. That's really hard. Although... you become very close. The caretaker becomes very close to the person they're taking care of. And, you know, I to the point in my life, there are a couple of things that I have issues with, and my wife helps take care. She's my caretaker in some ways.
Sure.
And we have become actually even closer.
Of course.
Because of this. At least I have. Maybe she resents it. I don't know.
I think we're close.
You'll have to ask her.
My oldest remaining brother has had dementia for the last couple of years, and was put into memory care a year ago, and he really has no idea who my sister-in-law is anymore. And so he knows that she's kind of this nice, pretty blonde lady that goes to see him, you know, but he doesn't really know what's going on. And he's physically really, 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 you know, vigorous and healthy. So he's probably going to be alive for a long time. And it's just tragic. You know, he was a brilliant, brilliant man. And he's just not there anymore.
That's tough.
That's
really tough. So. My father-in-law is going through that right now, where he has, I think it's called Lewy body dementia.
Oh, yeah. He would hallucinate.
And about 80% of the time, he has that thousand-yard stare where, he's staring, but there ain't nothing going on there.
Yeah.
That's really hard to look at. The other day, we were at dinner with him. He's up in Riverton, and he stood up and pulled his keys out, his house key, and he said, held his key out and said, "This is my house key, right?" And we're like, yeah. We're eating hamburgers, right? We didn't know where he was going with it. I don't think he did either. In fact, there's no reason for him to even have keys. He doesn't drive anymore, and he doesn't need to get let into the house or anything. But, yeah, it's a scary thing when you see someone. And my wife has, her grandpa and grandma on her mom's side, and now her dad, they all struggled with, dementia, Alzheimer's, that type of stuff late in life. And she's scared that she's going to,
certainly a concern for me as well to think about that.
Okay, got a couple of texts, questions for Marianne. Jeanette asks, do you think coconut oil increases cholesterol? There seems to be conflicting reports because of the saturated fat ability to raise cholesterol. Have you heard anything about coconut oil?
I have not. I'm certainly a proponent of natural oils, coconut oil and avocado oil and peanut oil. I think maybe there's a concern about the fat content, but I don't know about actually causing cholesterol.
Okay.
That would be a good thing to check out on, a reputable source like the Mayo Clinic or the National Institute of Health or something.
Okay. Yeah. Celia has a question for you, Marianne, a few years back, I was diagnosed with osteopenia, which is, I guess, the precursor to osteoporosis. After doing some research and talking to my smart husband, I began a routine of lifting dead weights in the evenings, a 30-pound dumbbell in each hand, and walking around the house for just a few minutes every other day. After a couple of months, I got tested again, and I was out of the danger zone and back into the normal bone density zone. I did not change anything else, so I know it was lifting those heavy weights. I recommend it to all older women.
Absolutely.
Pretty cool.
It's so important that the weight-bearing exercises are so important. And again, those are things I've been doing for years, but again, I'm on medication that's kind of, tunneling its way through my bones. The good thing is that I only have 1 year left on this medication, the estrogen blockers, and then hopefully the other medication that's going to be sort of replenishing my bone mass will take over. So 1 year of maybe disappearing some more, who knows.
All right, we're going to get a little weather break in. It's fun talking with Marianne, talking about health. She's our senior health guru, but she also does some other stuff with the city, and we're going to talk about some very cool stuff coming up with St. George City. I'm going to try to find the right time. There we go. After this weather break. So we'll be right back. That's not me laughing.
Roxanne.
There it is, Roxanne. I'm Andy. Thanks for listening to the program 935 on KDXU. Marianne Hamilton is with me, former Miss Senior Universe. Beautiful as always, Marianne. Thank you for coming in. You don't have to sell your body to the night like Roxanne.
I don't think so.
I think we're talking about a different kind of Roxanne,
I think
though,
so.
Aren't we? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to turn Sting down, and we'll talk about Roxanne.
Great lead-in. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, Roxanne. Yeah. Let's talk about what's going on with Roxanne. With a D.
This is so cool.
Yeah.
This is this Saturday. There's so much going on in St. George this time of year because our weather starts getting beautiful and people start coming out of their houses and it's amazing. So one of the most exciting new things happening this Saturday is the first annual Rocks Sand Gravel Bike Race.
R-O-X-S-A-N-D. Rocks Sand.
Correct.
Okay. Got it.
Gravel Bike Race.
Tell us about what is it?
Okay, so, most bike races tend to be on, flat paved surfaces, and, so you can go like crazy.
Sure.
There are crazy people who like riding. I'm not one of them. But
crazy people. Some people would say that you are a crazy person with all the walking you do
and
everything.
Maybe. Yeah. But there are people who like to ride on, rocks and sand and gravel and sort of more challenging terrain.
Kind of like
basically.
Mountain biking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So the city race department has decided to put on this event this Saturday. It takes off at 9 o'clock in the morning from Gunlock State Park.
Okay.
The distance is 24.
And the flows are, the falls are flowing right
the
now.
The falls are flowing, yeah. It should be beautiful. And it's not quite a marathon distance. It's 24.5 miles. And you take off from Gunlock. You sort of cruise out towards Ivins. You end up on the Mataqua Road, I believe. And then you end up back at Gunlock State Park. And there's an after-race celebration, partying, entertainment, and music, and food, and all kinds of fun stuff. And it's not really a, I mean, it is a race in the sense that they are going to be giving out awards to the top three male and female finishers. But it's really just, you know, come out and have a fun time and look at beautiful scenery and enjoy this gorgeous St. George terrain.
I want to know who came up with the name, Roxanne. That's pretty cool. I want you to, this is a line written on their website. And by the way, if you want to read more about this race, go to sgcity.org. Mm-hmm. You can navigate to races and then to Rock Sand Gravel. But listen to this. The Rock Sand Gravel bike race is designed to be both challenging and rewarding. Feel the rush as you conquer varying terrains from gravel climbs to descents. Providing the perfect mix of difficulty and thrill for riders of all levels, and it is named Rock Sand for a reason.
Yes, because there are rocks, and you're riding over sand as well.
Have you ever been a bicyclist? Have you ever been into it?
I like cycling, but I like those flat paved trails. I'm more like the Mayor's Loop type person, or you know, going out that way. I'm not a mountain bike rider. I'm okay climbing, but going down here scares. Going downhill scares the
bejesus. Nobody wants to go over the handlebars.
And now I really can't do it anymore. So it's
you would break all kinds of things.
Not a good idea. Yeah. But so my husband Doug, who works for the race department, has been helping put this together, and he wants your listeners to know that he rode the course last week with a number of friends, and he only had to get off his bike a few times.
Well, Doug is no spring chicken either.
Well, he's 2 years older than I am. Yes.
Yeah. This sounds pretty cool. I have a feeling Jeremy Larkin, who's he's a mountain biker. He loves that, him and his kids. And I have a feeling he's going to be involved somehow.
And Mark Mortensen and all those folks. And Michelle Graves, everybody.
So Roxanne, this Saturday, 9 o'clock a.m. Gunlock State Park. Is there best way to register? There's a big old button on the webpage, sgcity.org, and then go to races and Roxanne Gravel, and then just click on register there. Mm-hmm. I assume they're taking registrations there.
Yes,
if you show up early.
Registration actually closes on March 6th at 7 p.m.
Oh, so they're not.
Yeah, so it's this week.
Okay,
and it's at this point you're sort of at the late registration rate, which is $75, but it's a pretty cool experience, I think. And
you get a shirt and stuff with that, and
so.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Roxanne this Saturday. I love the name, you know, and
it's terrific.
And maybe it's because I like that's an old 80s song, you know, the Roxanne.
That's your era.
If it's wrong or if it's right, Roxanne.
There it is.
Actually, this morning when I was looking for information about this to print out to take with me, I Googled this, and the first thing that came up was that Sting song.
Yeah,
so that was great.
That's high school music for me.
Oh, yeah.
So.
a little after my time.
Yeah. Roxanne race this Saturday. What else is coming up? I know, now a lot of people say, well, the art festival, that's in April, right?
No.
Well, actually, not this year.
Not this year. It's actually the last weekend of the month. It's on Friday the 29th of March and Saturday March 30th. And it takes place in Town Square. Friday it's 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Saturday 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And this new this year is a pretty cool headliner at 7 o'clock on Friday night, playing out on Tabernacle, is the National Parks.
Not the actual National Parks,
no.
But a band named the National Parks.
They do wonderful sort of folk music, and it's just they're lovely entertainment. And throughout the festival, there's entertainment on three different stages. There's a ton of food. There's a creation station for kids. There's a race called the Art Attack.
Okay. Are you going to run or walk in that?
I will indeed. That's Saturday morning, March 30th. And there's a 1 mile distance, and there's also a 5K or a 3.2 mile.
Okay.
And that's a fun one. And they have all kinds of categories for prizes, first responders, costumes, seniors, people with strollers, kids 12 and under. There's a bike stock division for kids 12 and under who have their bicycles. And so it's a really wonderful family event. And then also during the festival is the Desertscape Film Festival will be going on.
Wow.
There's a freestyle dance battle. Which I'd love to come and watch.
I would probably hurt something if I tried to freestyle dance at this point in my life. But.
So anyway, check it out. If you want more information, go to sgartfestival.com.
And I will say this, it's cool to see all the cool art and the creators. Usually the person that created the art is right there, and you can talk to them about the process. And there a lot of booths last year, if I recall, were people who took photography as an art.
Yeah.
And there were some amazing, amazing photos and you know, portraits and things put together. But if you're... If you're kind of into that, you know, that's kind of cool. But if you're into food, I got to tell you, there is some amazing, amazing food at the St. George Art Festival. They get trucked from all over, from Vegas and Salt Lake and all over Utah, St. George.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's there's some amazing food there. I have some personal favorites. I like Big Lud's Barbecue myself, but there are other fantastic ones. My wife likes those... the elote corn, the Mexican street corn.
Oh, yum.
Oh, yeah. That She just loves that stuff. So.
Well, and also from the art perspective, I mean, it is a juried show. It's not just, you know, sort of, you know, arts and crafts, which, you know, there's a place for that, and I appreciate arts and crafts, but this is all really fine art. And I believe there are 150 booths. They had over 400 applications for, you know, people to be in the show.
And I think that's really cool. They don't just because you want to be in it,
right,
doesn't mean you're in. Yeah. They're vetted. They actually judge them, and they, you know, because what that's like one out of four or one out of three or something get in. And I like that.
Yeah, the caliber has to be really, really high. Mm-hmm. As soon as, you know, it's art that you want to take home and display on your walls. Yeah. And in fact, speaking of that, one of our good friends from who displays artwork during Art Around the Corner, Matt Clark, who's here in St. George, actually Diamond Valley, he said, you know, he even he at his level applies for art shows that he doesn't get into at this point in his life. And not everybody gets into every show. So, you know, people shouldn't be, shouldn't be upset if they don't get into a show. But, you know, and then visitors who come should expect to see a really, really high quality of artwork here, which they will see.
Agreed. And like I said, one of the things I really like about it is you go to a booth and they have all these different art pieces displayed, and you can actually sit and talk to the person who created them and say, how did you do this? I remember last year talking to a guy, and he was a photographer, and he had photos of all these incredible things. And I'm like, how did you do that? And he said, well, I paid the money, and I traveled there, and I sat out in the sun or whatever it took, in the rain, whatever.
And waited.
Waiting for that perfect moment. Mm-hmm. And then I took the photo. And then, you know, that was only part of the process. Then after that, there's all the post-photo, you know,
manipulation,
processing and everything. And I was just amazed at how much work these people, you know, put into it.
Yeah.
You know, my job, I'm used to seeing immediate results.
Immediate gratification.
On the radio, and people criticize me, or people, you know, praise me or whatever, but I get immediate results. And some of these artists, they don't see any kind of, sometimes never see financial, you know, recompense for it. And sometimes they don't really see a whole lot of credit, you know, otherwise too. And
absolutely.
So it's good to be a part of it. I think it's a fun thing.
Well, I was going to mention, in fact, I'd like want to talk a little bit about what's going on with Art Around the Corner. But if you look at some of the bronze sculptures that are in Town Square, those pieces, in fact, we just were giving lectures or classes to fourth graders throughout the month of February on how bronzes are made. And, It's a 15-step process, and it involves many, 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 many people who all need to get paid, you know, throughout the whole sort of supply chain. The artist basically comes up with the idea and maybe sculpts the original piece in clay, but then it gets handed off to lots and lots of other people, and it can take months and months and months. So that's why bronzes in particular are quite pricey.
I started coming to the St. George Art Festival before I lived here in the 80s. It's been around since 1980. I never thought, honestly, the first couple of times I came to the art festival that I would actually live in this town and have that art festival be right next door. I hope people who live here understand that it is something special and it's worth going to. I know when you live, you know, we live 32 miles from Zion National Park, and, you know, Bryce Canyon is just up the road. So Canyon is right here. Sometimes when you live close to something, you tend to take it for granted.
Yeah, it's wallpaper.
Maybe, not even really be a part of it. But the art festival is something you should never take for granted. It's so cool.
It does draw, I think, in excess of 100,000 people each year, which is pretty remarkable for, you know, little old St. George.
110 artists juried from hundreds of entries throughout the United States. Over 30,000 residents and visitors from around the West converge each day. It's very, very cool. Yeah.
Very cool. And when they come to town, they'll be looking at the last week of sculptures that are displayed by Art Around the Corner.
Yeah, talk about Art Around the Corner. You know what? Let's do this. Let's get a commercial break in, and then when we come back, we'll talk about Art Around the Corner. On with Mary Ann Hamilton today on the Andy Griffin Show. Again, we've had some phone issues today, so if you want to be a part of the show, you're going to have to text me, 435-467-5842. BRB.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. 950 on KDXU. Mary Ann Hamilton is on the program with me today. Tomorrow, Dr. David Blodgett is on the air, and maybe he'll have a little more insight on osteoporosis.
And coconut oil.
And coconut oil. That's right. On Thursday, Mayor Michelle Randall will be on the program here on the Andy Griffin Show. And then Friday, you just never know what's going to happen on Fridays.
All bets are off on Friday.
Celeste Malloy was on last Friday. That was kind of cool to have her on there. I really like Celeste. She's a really good... She's one of those people, and I'm scared for her because she's in Washington, and we know what Washington, D.C. can be like. That's a shark. Those are shark-infested waters. But she's gone in with a fresh work ethic and an idea to try to make things better. And I hope that that environment doesn't eat her up.
Or I hope she doesn't get jaded, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I mean.
That's the hard thing when people just kind of say, that's what the way things are.
Yeah, for sure. Mary Ann is... been tied with Art Around the Corner for how many years have you been helping them out and being a part of it?
It's been close to 10, maybe eight or nine. Yeah.
8 or 9 years.
Yeah. Nice. After I've been here 10
years. You've been here 10 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw your picture on, when you were getting ready to come here and you were like, you had a look of fear, trepidation, and excitement in your eyes
all
as you were getting ready to come out, all rolled into one. And I was like, if she only knew. It's awesome here. It is.
I had a feeling it would be, and I was not wrong.
Yeah, but going to a new place is always scary.
I mean,
for sure.
I had never lived outside California before in my life.
Fear of the unknown.
Yeah,
right?
It was a huge, huge, huge deal. Doug came out here 2 weeks before I did because I was home with bleeding ulcers because I was so freaked out. Yeah. I was in the hospital a couple times.
Wow.
So, but anyway, by the time I got here, everything was just, this is just where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, me too.
Glad you're here.
I'm glad here. I'm here in the studio.
I saw, you showed me a minute ago, an article in the Health and Wellness magazine about Janine Burton, who was on the show last month.
Mm-hmm.
A story written by somebody we know. Byline says Mary Ann Hamilton on it. Yeah. And Janine, obviously, what a great story. A write-in candidate, which write-in candidates just don't win. The chances are like 1 in 100.
1%.
Yeah. And she was able to basically knock on pretty much every door in Santa Clara and get her message out there. And she is now a member of the city council. I asked Mayor Rosenberg last week about her, and he said, she has some very strong ideas about history and about the way things should be. And we knew that. She's a former history teacher.
Yeah.
And he says she's still learning a lot of stuff because, when you come in
brand new
and you don't know, he said, that's one of the things I like about her. She is learning. Mm-hmm. And she's trying, and she's putting the effort in to learn and know what the job entails. So that's pretty cool.
I want to say that she's actually in D.C. right now, or is about to go pretty soon. So she's going to a conference with lots of other, council people. Mm-hmm. So she's diving in with both feet.
Both feet, yep. Yeah. She's going to get wet. All right, talk about Art Around the Corner now. Back to Art Around the Corner.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it's our 20th anniversary.
In years past, we've seen giant spiders and dragons and all kinds of things. In fact, if you go on Auto Mall Drive now, you can still see the spider over there.
Yeah.
But tell us about what Art Around the Corner is and the goal there.
Sure. We're an all-volunteer nonprofit organization, and we bring high-level public art to St. George every year. And we've worked together. It'll be our 20th anniversary. And this year, our installation will be the weekend after the art festival. So the artists will come to town on Friday, April 5th. We will celebrate them that evening at a social at the Hilton Garden Inn, and the public's invited to that to come and talk to the artists and find out and what their inspirations were for their pieces, etc. And the next morning at 7 a.m., we all go downtown to Town Square and over actually to the hospital and up along Main Street.
So you're going to have a dinner Friday night, and you're going to make everybody get up early Saturday morning?
We're done by 8 o'clock or 8:30. Yeah, it starts at, I think, 5:30 or 6.
Okay.
And then we go downtown and do the installation. We usually have three installation teams with welders and, you know, cranes and cherry pickers to lift the big pieces into place. And
yeah, there's a big one.
There's some really big ones, yeah. And then by 10 o'clock, it's all done. And from 10 until 12 this year, because of our 20th anniversary, we're having a community event in Town Square, which is free. And the public's invited to come and, again, meet the artists, talk with them about, you know, what pieces you liked, how where they came from. They come from all over the United States this year, which is pretty exciting. And we'll have entertainment and sort of light refreshments. And it'll be just a great celebration of, you know, two decades of great public art in St. George.
This is about a month from now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Give us the dates again.
April 5th is when they come to town. April 6th is the community event.
Okay.
Yeah, Saturday morning from 10 until 12. And
can you give us any kind of like sneak peek preview of any of the pieces? Anything that's going to be like, whoa?
Well, if you liked the dragon.
I put her on the spot. She's not really supposed to say much, but do you have any kind of?
Yeah, if you liked the dragon. There is something that is not dissimilar going in.
Dragon-ish. Okay.
And actually, the artist, Devron Farley, his son, is an artist also. He's sort of learned welding at his dad's, you know, knees, and he's doing his own piece, which is a big ant, which is really, really cool.
A giant ant,
yeah.
And it may be purchased when Art Around the Corner is over by a pest control company.
There you go. Just like Morgan Pest Control can come back and say, I want that one as well, yeah. And there are some, you know, sort of classic bronzes that we always love to have. Beautiful, beautiful pieces. The bird woman who is leaving, you know, the roundabout will be replaced actually
I was just looking at that a second ago.
Yes, she's amazing. There will actually be three pieces in that roundabout altogether, which is kind of fun. Sort of looking at it from different angles.
You can't see my screen, but the bird woman there.
She was done by Cheryl Collins, who lives in Ivins. They're just... It's I can't even describe it. We have almost 40 new sculptures going in between Town Square, Main Street, and St. George Regional Hospital. So it's really, really going to be an exciting show.
And that's worth mentioning, too. The hospital has stepped up and hosted some of those because you have so many. It's nice the hospital says, well, we'll take some and we'll put them here and people can enjoy them.
It's been about 5 years. And they were, you know, when Mitch Cloward was the chief administrator there, when we met with him the first time, he got it instantly and said, please, 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 if you, when you guys install, please put something in front of the emergency room, because people who walk in there are freaked out, they're upset, they're nervous, or they have a family member who's in there. And he knows that beautiful artwork has the ability to calm people's souls and make them feel, more at peace. And so he was very, very... on the whole relationship from the
get-go. Good job, Mitch. Appreciate that.
Good job, yeah.
And people that listen to the show know that I wouldn't call myself an art connoisseur, but I believe in the arts, and I understand. I believe that having the arts as part of education of young people is absolutely critical. It helps stimulate parts of their brain that make them better students in all other aspects of life, not only, you know, math and English, but just aspects of life, learning. I am grateful for my time as an artist. I'm terrible at drawing, and I've never tried sculpture, but I was a musician.
Sure.
And I love music, and that is art.
That is art.
It helped shape me into who I am today, and I think it's very important.
You know, I worked for many software companies before I moved out here, and there's a direct correlation between engineers and musicians. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. In fact, I worked for one company, and they had a sort of a performance area in the middle of their building, and it said, you know, they're part of the... interview process was, okay, so you program this and this, what do you play? And that was, you know, because the assumption was, oh, if you're, you know, a programmer, you probably also play music. It's pretty amazing. So I'm sad that, you know, for whatever reason, the powers that be have elected not to continue offering art classes in the schools.
This is ridiculous, if you ask me.
I had one last thing I wanted to share with
you. Okay, you got about 20 seconds.
Okay, I'm going to the UN on Friday morning.
Really? In New York?
Yes, I'm leaving Thursday, and we're going to International Women's Day at the United Nations on Friday morning.
Nice. Yes. Miss Senior Universe
with,
representing.
Five other queens.
Make sure you promote how awesome St. George is.
I will do that.
Marianne, thanks as always for coming. Really
thanks,
appreciate
Andy.
It.
Always a pleasure.
We're out of time tomorrow. Dr. Blodgett, thanks for listening.